Okay, we do have a speaker tonight, I'm delighted to say. They're going to share their experience, let's hope, with us for 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. They've just celebrated a major milestone in their recovery, so I'm going to leave it to them to tell you about that. But I'm going to ask and introduce you to Penelope, who's going to introduce our speaker. So, Penelope, over to you.
Thank you, Steve. My name's Penelope and I'm an addict.
Hello.
Yay. It's great to be here, and it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker this evening. It's a woman I have known since she started coming to the meeting that I used to do service at in the West End, and I heard her share a couple of other meetings, and I really liked what I heard, and it was my privilege to be connected with her in her recovery. And it's a great, it's she has such beautiful, joyful energy, and I hope that she can bring some of that to us all tonight. And I'd like to introduce you all to Tammy, who you probably all know, but I love her very much. So over to you, Tammy. Thank
Hi,
you.
Tammy.
That's Penelope.
Thank you, Penelope. My name's Tammy. I'm an addict.
Hi,
Hi,
Tammy.
Tammy.
Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi.
Tammy, really?
Hey, just give me a moment. I'm crying. I'm just gonna have some water. Give me a moment. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah. I've just celebrated a milestone. Yeah, which is fantastic. I just celebrated 11 years clean this week. Last Monday, to be precise. And it's been one heck of a journey. I feel blessed to be here. I feel very grateful. And I'm hoping you'll hear that gratitude expressed in my share. When I found the fellowship, the woman that Penelope described was very different. I was very, very different. I arrived in 2012, and I was broken mentally, physically, spiritually. I was full of a lot of rage, hate, anger, my children had been taken out of my care due to the disease of addiction. I think for me, I've always used since I was 14, 15 years of age. I think it was, I went to live with my sister when I was on and off the street, and I remember her dressing me up to go down to the bottle shop, to the liquor store to get alcohol, and she gave me my, first bong of weed and, all that stuff. And and then kind of everything spiraled to the point over the years where I think it was I would, my children were in my care and they would go to my ex-husband's, and I would get absolute, I would use, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then, not use during the week because I could justify it. And, my mother died, and I hadn't spoken to my mother for, no, my mother didn't die. My mother was extremely unwell. And at that point, I hadn't spoken to her for 5 years. And I really wasn't very well at all. And that's where my addiction took that downward spiral. And it wasn't my rock bottom, because rock bottom has a trap door. It got to the point where my children had to steal food. My daughter had to steal food for her brother to eat. I wasn't caring for them. I went to Maldon yesterday, which is a town that's not like kind of next couple of towns over from where I live, and I haven't been there in years. And I walked past the place that I used in. It's very different walking down there clean. And I remember being there and they gave me a tab as soon as I walked in. And this is like the last couple of weeks of my children being in my care. And I rang my son's school and said my ex-husband's picking him up. I told my ex-husband to go pick him up. My daughter didn't have a phone, so my ex-husband picked my son up. My daughter was apparently going around knocking on the neighbor's doors, wondering where I was. I wasn't buying food for my children. I wasn't even putting gas or electric on. I was using the money to just use. And yeah, I remember social services turning up on my door, knocking on my door, coming into the house and saying that they're taking my children out of my care and placing them in the care of my ex-husband. And I can remember that like it was yesterday, and I don't ever want to forget it. And it's taken a lot of work through the program to have acceptance with that and healing and compassion and empathy and forgiveness for myself. And yeah, it was from there I ended up spending 9 months in a psychiatric unit, lost my house, lost my children, and my using got worse. We were bringing drugs onto the unit. I was committing fraud. We were using on the unit. There was a bunch of us. The staff knew exactly what we were doing. And yeah, it was just absolute madness, absolute chaos and mayhem. And, for a normal person that didn't have the disease of addiction, having their children taken out of their care would have been a red flag. Like, oh, I need to stop. I need to sort my life out. But for me, it was like a green light. And I just hit it and I just went bang, And I ended up leaving the psychiatric unit, going into supported accommodation. And then someone I used with on the unit was living there. And yeah, it wasn't great. Really wasn't great at all. So when I got into using things that I'd never used before, having come downs like I'd never had before, laying there, coming down off gear and, hallucinating, throwing up on myself, all that shit. Really not very nice. I really don't want to go back there just for today. And I found our fellowship through another fellowship. I started going to that fellowship because I thought I had an issue with that particular drug. And nothing was clicking for me. Nothing was working for me. And I remember one of my friends, I think he's 13, 14 years clean this year. We were out front of the meeting, and this is when I smoked. And he's like, "No, Tam, come to NA, you'll love it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I've never heard of NA." And I got that feeling of like, oh, like a light bulb moment. Like, wait a minute. This is it. Something clicked for me. I remember meeting one of my old sponsors there, and I think what clicked with me was getting the identification with her about her life experience, and her children were taken out of her care and adopted out. And it was like, what? And I wouldn't let anyone hug me. I wouldn't let you come near me. I had this really big, loud, bold, brash front, hard, hard front. And there was something about this woman. She gave me a hug and it was loving. And she just told me to keep coming back. And no one at any point in time told me to fuck off. So I am going to swear. So I do apologize if that, that's just part of who I am. So, no one told me to go away. I was like a bull in a china shop. And, I stumbled in and I asked that woman to sponsor me, and I got to about 6 months clean, and I got into a relationship in the rooms with someone who was a couple of months ahead of me. And I was doing step work at the time, but for me, I kind of paid lip service to it. And he became a higher power because I had no experience of creating and cultivating a relationship with a higher power of my understanding. And as a direct result, That's called a codependency shit. We were doing all the meetings together, which I don't recommend. We were doing everything together, and with my unresolved issues and my unresolved stuff, my stuff, because it's nothing to do with him, it's always about my stuff. We broke up and I relapsed. And I relapsed on prescribed not taking prescribed medication properly. So, that left that took me out, and I was out for about 6 months, 7 months, I think. And in that time, I had the worst psychosis of my life, which I never wish to experience again. Just today, I threatened to kill my ex-husband. I threatened to kill someone else. I was hearing voices, thinking that gods were commanding me to kill people. It was a very dark, dark, dark time, and the scariest time of my life. I had to be sectioned, and I was released. The psychiatric team thought I was making it up, because the police officer arrested me, and no, not arrested me, but got me sectioned, and they let me out within 24 hours, even though she got me on a 72-hour section. So I was back at home, and within 4 hours, that same police officer who arrested me turned up on my no, who sectioned me turned up on my doorstep with two other officers to arrest me and taking me into custody. Say what you like about the police. They saved my life that day. Yeah, they saved my life. I was not in a good way. I trashed my flat two or three times. I was walking on broken glass. I had pulled my curtains off the rails. I smashed my television. I'd smashed my laptop. I was just violent and beyond rage. I was put in the cell, and I was pacing the cell, and I really didn't do very well in confined spaces, and I had to be made a constant. I think that was my wake up call. Getting in that lovely red tracksuit and having two officers sit at my door with the when what that means by being a constant is that your cell door is open, and you've got two officers sitting there, and it doesn't matter if they're male or female, they're sitting there watching you, keep an eye on you. They tried to get me in every psychiatric unit in Essex. No, none would have me. I was in the cell for 2, 3 days, and that's where I had my wake up call. That's where I had my higher power moment. That's where I had the moment of look around where you are, because it's jails, institutions, and death. I don't care what anyone says. If someone had told me in my previous recovery, no, previous clean time, I'm not going to say recovery because I don't feel like I had any. If someone told me in my previous clean time that in 6 months' time, when I was clean and I was full of myself and everything else, that because I thought I had all this external stuff, and that all the external stuff equated to recovery, which doesn't, because it's an inside job. I'll get to that in a moment. I wouldn't have believed it, and it's jails, institutions, and death. And that's where I had my moment. And I remember one of the sergeants was sitting there, and he goes, "Tammy, you've been one of the most calmest constants I've ever had." And I just turned around and said, "Look at where I am, or what else am I going to do? Where else am I going to go? Look at me, I'm in a cell. What am I going to do? Am I going to make this worse for myself? How worse can it get?" And he's like, "Oh," I think he kind of had a bit of a moment. But yeah, I'm sitting and got to the point where I'm in court, and I'm cuffed to the of what they call prison officer or whatever it is, and sitting there, and I'm just like, "God, it's funny how I could ask for God when, I needed to get out of something. I could ask for my higher power when I needed to get out of something." But there was a real part of me that was like, "If I get out of this, I promise I'll go back to NA." And I did the next day. And I had to break into my flat. I cleaned it up. I went back to a meeting the next day, and that's my clean date. And yeah, I kind of got on the phone to one of my friends who's about 16, 17 years clean now. I was on the phone to him every day for the first week. And he's like, Tam, get yourself a female sponsor now, darling, and start working this stuff now. And I did the next day. And I hit the ground running. I was told to do 90 and 90, 90 meetings in 90 days. I did it. I had to call her every day for the first 30 days. That taught me willingness. I remember at the time I had a pay-as-you-go phone, and I didn't have enough money to top up the phone. So I walked 3 miles to the local phone, nearest phone box to call her. Yeah, I did what I did. I studied the basic text. We did a basic text study before I did my written work. It's amazing. I got myself in the middle of the lifeboat. I was taught to dress up and show up. I got a service position, doing the teas and coffees. I think at one point I had a service position at every meeting in Chelmsford at the time because there was 5 meetings a week. Because it got to the point where I was living in supported accommodation again, and it wasn't a clean and sober living. So, and people couldn't use in communal areas, however, they could use in their bedrooms, and the hallway used to always stink of weed and whatever, and I would get myself out purposely in the evening, get myself to a meeting because I know for that hour and a half or so I was safe. And there was fellowship. We'd go for meals. We'd celebrate. All that stuff, which got me connected, which got me out of isolation, which and then doing the work on myself and getting clean time and the steps, which is our program, part of our program, which I can't stress enough how important it is to work the steps and find a sponsor. A sponsor is someone that, you want what they have, that you respect. That, a sponsor is someone with more clean time than me that is not going to co-sign my bullshit. That's going to tell me straight. And I purposely choose women that are loving and caring at the same time won't wrap me up in cotton wool. That tell me what I need to hear, whether I like it or not. Because that's important for me to grow. That's important for me to see myself. They're my mirror. And, I did what I did. I turned up, I shared, I did service. I got to 2 years clean. And I remember because I was so focused on getting past 18 months because that's what I wanted to do so badly because that's when I relapsed. And I got to 2 years clean. And I remember one of my friends going, oh, Tammy, don't you remember when, because one of my friends in recovery, she also worked at Open Road and I was using Open Road during the day. She's like, yeah, you offered her out 3 or 4 times. And what I mean by that, if you don't understand, is that is like I was proper starting on her being clean and in recovery and like wanting a fight. And I was mortified, absolutely mortified to think that I'd behave like that. I think it probably was in my first 90 days, first 6 months, maybe. I can't remember exactly when. And yeah, I to think that because with our steps we have spiritual principles and there's honesty, love, unconditional love, compassion, empathy, humility, self-acceptance, all these things. And I had done enough work on me through the steps at that point in time to develop those, to be shown how to work those, to be shown how to use those, and to cultivate a relationship with a higher power, a loving higher power of my understanding. That I made an amends to her. We're now really good friends. But yeah, that's another thing as well, a higher power. I came back into recovery in recovery back into recovery with an idea that had to be deconstructed. A preconditioned idea from my childhood and my teenage years, of a God, of someone else's understanding of religion, of the dogma in a way. And I grew up in a household where children should be seen and not heard. We would go to church on a Sunday, and believe me, what was happening behind closed doors is not conducive to me wanting to believe in that higher power, you know. I grew up in a very violent, abusive home, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened in my home, and there's a lot of stuff that happened to me that I don't really talk about in the rooms. I have a sponsor for that. That's just my story. So, you know, I chose to deconstruct. That's the beauty of our program, is that it's a spiritual program, not a religious one. That I chose to that I have that choice to formulate and cultivate a belief with a higher power of my understanding of what works for me. And you know, I've always been told, even with my first sponsor, to the sponsor that I have now, is just go and find what works for you. You know, prayer and meditation are important to me. So, you know, that I've been shown what to do. I've been shown the way. I've not been told how to pray. I've not been told how to meditate. Like, yes, we have the serenity prayer, step three prayer, step seven prayer. Don't get me wrong. You know, you know, if I had issues, it's just like one of my friends would say, you know, if you've got issues praying, just ask your higher power in the morning to help you stay clean today. And if you stay clean today, like at the end of the day, just say thank you. And, you know, that's what I do most days. I've been able to, through doing the work, through, you know, one, two, three, it's really crucial for being open-minded and formulating a belief and getting acceptance around the disease of addiction, and that I'm powerless over it, completely powerless over it, powerless over people, places, and things. And then getting to the point where you go through four, five, and six, or four and five are amazing in itself. You know, I remember when I was first around the fellowship, and people would talk about how scared they were in meetings. They would share about how scared they were of doing a step four. And all I heard from my friends with more clean time than me was that it's one of the most loving things you can do for yourself. And it is. The steps are the best thing that I've ever done for myself, the best thing that I can continue to do for myself and to apply for myself, because it gives me me. It gives me that understanding of myself, how I operate, how I work, what I've done, where I'm at, where am I going, you know. For me to be able to see, because I came back into recovery very, you know, with a big chip on my shoulder, and I was very much a victim. They did this, they did that. It taught me how to take responsibility. It showed me in black and white who I was, what I did, and the effect it had on people. That I wasn't as great as what my egocentric self tried to convince me with the disease of addiction and denial and all the rest of it. How great I was. I really wasn't, you know. And I think it's quite fascinating to deconstruct all that, you know, over time, being a clean addict in recovery, to be able to look at those things for what they really are, and to separate myself from it and be like, okay, this is what I've done, this is how I move forward, you know. Making an amends is important. And then there's also people that I can't make an actual amends to, you know, for one reason or another. It's dangerous, you know. And how I make that indirect amends is just by not continuing to be like that, not continuing to treat people like that, you know. Not con you know, it's important to make that. I make an amends to myself every day, staying clean. And, you know, it took me, I think, 3 years of being in recovery till I got 3 years clean, I think it was. No, 4 years clean. No, wait a minute, bear with me, my timeline. I was 6 months clean, and my ex-husband, that's right, because he petitioned me in my relapse to take my son permanently back home to Australia. And I ended up getting clean, as you know, coming back into recovery, and I had to represent myself in court at 6 months clean. And I think I was 6 months, 9 months clean. And it was really hard because, you know, the judge is saying, well, I mean, Miss McKeon, you did this, 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 and this. And I'm like, okay, you know. And he gave him permission. And at that point, I hadn't seen or spoken to my son in 3 years. It was only letter contact, and I was lucky if that was once every 6 months. So social services and and everything got us all together because my ex-husband got permission to take him, granted, to take Jaden permanently back home to Australia to separate him from my daughter from his sister, which was devastating. My ex-husband also put her in foster care. And I saw him for the first time in 3 years. It was hard. I had to say goodbye again. It's not been easy. I must mention as well, sorry if I'm a bit all over the place. I must mention that that day I was in court, I had the support of my sponsor and her partner at the time, and all my friends in the fellowship. And as soon as I got out of court, my sponsor was at work, and her partner, who was in recovery, he goes, "Nah," he goes, "come on, sister, come over and have some dinner with us. Come stay with us. Come sit with us for a bit." Because I was in tears. I was in pieces. This fellowship has held me. This fellowship has loved me. This fellowship has cared for me in those times where I didn't know how to care for myself. This fellowship has shown me what true unconditional love and care is. I've been given so much, my daughter came back into my life when I got clean and got back into recovery. She came to when I was a year clean. She came to my clean time birthday. She came to the meeting. She sat through the main chair, and sat through the whole meeting and everything. At the time, I think she was 17, and she came back to me 6 months later because she sat in that meeting, and she's like, "Mum," and she won't mind me saying this. She's like, "Mum, I just want you to know I've knocked a lot of things on the head," and I'm like, "What do you mean?" She has a lot of stuff she was doing, like using, and she's like, "Oh, okay, radio, and I'm like, "Okay, that's good. I'm really happy, that was the thing as well that's come out of this. I'm able to have these conversations with my children. I'm able to have that, line of communication with them where they can talk to me about this stuff, where they feel safe to bring this stuff to me, that I'm not going to turn around and condemn them. I'm not going to turn around and tell them, this is what you should do, that's what you should do." I did it with my son. I went out to Australia in 2018 to which I paid for myself. That's another thing. I went to college for 2 years, got diplomas in reflex. I'm a trained holistic therapist, and I'm also a trained beauty therapist. I got gainfully employed in recovery. I worked for one of the biggest beauty companies. It's now not as great as what it used to be for 6 years. And in that time, I was able to save up. I paid for myself to go to Australia in 2018 for the months to see my family, because at that point, my daughter had then gone out the year before to travel Australia for 2 years with her ex-fiancé. And so I was going out to see my family, my sister, and everyone. And I didn't know that I turned up at the airport and my son was there. And he's 6'4" now. And I broke down. I was standing there getting a coffee, and he just tapped me on the shoulder, and I've turned around, and I've just oh, he's just held me like I almost just fell to the floor. The gifts of recovery are amazing. And I was able to go and see them and spend time with them. They're in my life now. That's my greatest gift. That's my greatest gift that the recovery has given me. I'm a grandma now. I've got a daughter-in-law now. I've done service consistently, tried to do service consistently in recovery. Up until a couple of years ago, I did service at a face-to-face, my old face-to-face home group. I did service there for 8 years. I was always taught to dress up and show up no matter what. Service is so important. It translates to every other area of my life. It has a ripple effect in every other area of my life. It's taught me how to conduct myself. I've been shown how to conduct myself. I was taught with the original home group that I joined. There were one of our members was 20 over 20 years clean, and he taught me that to leave the place better than I found it. So, that if I walked in and let's say the previous people hadn't stacked the chairs or something wasn't clean in the kitchen, I was taught to make sure I left it better than I found it, to clean the kitchen, stack everything away. We were on such good terms with the previous building that we used to rent the room off that, that I ended up at one point, by the way, I ended up taking that meeting on my own for probably about a year and a half, being the only member of the committee. But anyway, that's by the by. We were on such good terms that, because I've been shown how to conduct myself in NA by my peers, that when we went to leave to go to another premises, to another building, because they ended up charging us too much, we couldn't afford it. They were like, Tammy, why are you going? Can you tell us why? Wow, think about that. Isn't that amazing to think that I've been shown how to communicate? Service has given me that. Now, don't always get it right. Don't get me wrong, I'm still learning. to show up, to pay the rent on time, to, do everything and to convey myself in a way that, that's another thing as well, like to express my emotion, to talk about my feelings. I used to suppress that with every single thing I could get my hands on, right? I didn't want to think or feel. And, it's amazing to think that I've been given this gift of how to open up and to feel things and to let those feelings flow. It's very much like a river. And it's amazing that through working the steps and the traditions and the, I've got to work some more on the traditions, I must say, the spiritual principles that come with that, doing service, doing group conscience, many different service decisions that I've done, and sitting and listening to others, just can't tell you how much. This being the center of my life, which is really important because it has to be the center of my life for me. This is my core. This is where I'm at. This is me. It's like the roots of a tree. The deeper those roots go down as that tree grows, the better it is. And, the more I allow myself and give myself the beautiful chance to be clean and in recovery and grow and change and shift, it's a metamorphosis, it's a change. No 2 years are the same being a clean addict in recovery. No 2 years are the same. Yes, it can be hard. I've been shown how to stay clean no matter what. I've been shown how to stay clean through deaths, through relationship breakups, through job losses, all of which I've gone through, as you guys know. My father passed away, my sister passed away, I've lost jobs, I've had relationship breakups. All of these things are just little pe steps along the way. Life on life's terms. Just because I'm a clean addict in recovery doesn't somehow mean that I'm immune to the effects of life on life's terms. It just means I'm t shown and taught, and I've been taught, and I learn how to apply the steps and the process of their program to that through prayer, meditation, and everything else, And I have my morning routine. Sorry, I have something come up on my phone, but anyway, I have my morning routine, my morning ritual. That word ritual's bang in the middle of the word spiritual. I have my prayer, my meditation, my everything on just before the meeting tonight. I've gone around lighting my incense. I've got some beautiful crystals on my table in front, on my coffee table in front of me, and all these things that help me feel grounded and connected. It's really important for me, you know. I love the fact that our program is a spiritual program, not a religious one. It gives me that freedom to cultivate, like I said, that and make room for peace and, you know, within me to have that relationship with the higher power of my understanding. You know, what I first believed in when I came back into recovery has most certainly shifted and changed and grown as I, especially as I've gotten older. You know, I'm 47 years of age this year. That's another thing. Getting older in recovery is amazing. Being comfortable in my own skin. I never thought I'd say that. I didn't think I'd get to, I think 3 years clean, let alone 11 years clean. To have moments of sanity, to have peace. That's what the step work's all about. That's what doing this is all about, is clearing the wreckage, clearing away the crap, clearing away and chipping away at everything that's not me, that doesn't belong to me. That, you know, to that's that pro, you know, that saying, isn't there? You know, go within or go without. That's not mine. I've heard my friends in recovery say that. My peers have more time than me, you know. And that's what it's truly all about. It's about cultivating a space within where I'm able to have some peace between my ears, because I didn't have that when I was out there. I most certainly didn't. And I have moments of peace and clarity today, which is transcends any drug I used when I was out there. To have that connection with nature, yeah, it's unbelievable. I've just recently got hearing aids because, you know, one of the things of getting older, I've lost my, you know, about 40% of my hearing. So, you know, I've now can hear the birds so clearly when I go to work in the morning. Like, I was getting the bus at 7 o'clock this morning, and it's just so beautiful to have that peace. To think that I find happiness in that and gratitude in that. When I was out there, the disease which I was in distorted my view of everything, and you know, I found all that in using which what I thought was spirituality and peace and everything else or whatever at one point when it wasn't. You know, I need to be in clean and in recovery and have a higher power. NA is a higher power because it has to bring me out of the depths of the disease of addiction. The disease of addiction is a dark, desolate, painful, lonely place to be. And I just for the day, you know, I have freedom from that, for being in our fellowship, and I have some beautiful friends. Beautiful friends in the fellowship. I have beautiful sponsees. That's the gift as well, to watch people take this and run with it and watch them get it. And you just think, oh, would have loved to have had the quality of their recovery when I was 2 years, when they were 2 years clean. I would have loved to have had, you know, that quality of that recovery. I gained so much from them, from, you know, it's all about each one teach one, right? So it's all about me. My sponsor helps me up the ladder, and then once I'm up, it's my job to turn around and pull someone else up, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And it took me a while to understand that and to learn that. So yeah, feel like I've been all over the place. I do apologize. I thank you for everyone that's doing service, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.